Father, we come to you.
In the name of Jesus, our Lord. He's our strength, He's our vision, He's our compass, that we might move ourselves toward you all the time in our life. Thank you, Father, that you left a book that guides us and move us closer to you. Thank you that you exhort us, like you did this morning, to be selfless, that we may enjoy the satisfaction of this world just as it is, because there is a great future and there is a great retirement for us in the presence of the living God, as we're going to learn more and more as we study the book of Revelation. Lord, we want to praise you tonight. We want to say great things about a God who loves us and cares for us, a God who, in spite of ourselves, is faithful. And Father, how gracious you are in writing Revelation, in telling us little by little some of the pieces that you are putting together day by day so that Jesus may come. Thank you, Father. And thank you for the things that we will never know, because they are things that belong only to you. Help us, O God, with good exegesis and with good reasoning in the Scripture to know the things that belong to us. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. All right, you may tell us about the song that you like it. And Brother, we're going to start with Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph, how was it in... that he was a good preacher today?
Oh, yeah.
He was. All right. We are grading the preachers. He was a good preacher. We've got to include our brother here, Mick, one of those days. He's a lecture professor, you know. So we have to include him one of those days. All right. We added Brother Greg to the crew. And coming Sunday, the fifth Sunday, it's my turn. It's good to go over there and see these people and share with them the most valuable tool that we have, the Word of the Living God. All right, now, Lara, what song do you like it?
204.
204, I like that flower. I told Lara, and I want to say publicly, that I bought for 7 years flowers for you every Saturday. Raise your hand, is that right? All right. Okay, Lara, it's true. Lara looked at me like, you know, the pastor is pulling something. No, that's it. Tell me what number.
204.
Okay. Lara, you get a boy that has money when he's young. And Somebody is coming and wants a song.
All right, number 162, that's what you said?
Yeah.
All right, that might be the first time this one, no?
Sisters and brothers were very little. They said, well, no, this is mine, not that's your sister. Where I was with you, were even in project or you were little? All right, you know, they were trying to look their name a few years ago. That was very cute. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you the most wonderful choir under the Captain Andrew and the director Devin. All right, here we are. Here we are all together, okay? Jesus. The cute little Tricia. I'm teaching her to love shoes, so she has to marry a man with money to buy new shoes. And first thing we do in the morning is when my car arrives, Tricia will run to my car and show me her socks and suit and shoes. And so this morning, carefully, I shine my shoes because she loses on me. So I got my shoes and she inspects, it's okay, all right.
Amen. You know? Some little things make people happy, all right? You give me a glass of water. Okay, thank you. All right. Joy, okay, tell me.
275.
You know, it's good. They can remember that. They look their shoes and they look mine. 275. Before the pastor preached, I inspected their shoes and socks and he inspected them. Thank you.
down to like number 209.
209, Mary Ellen? And who is that? Do you, anybody knows Mary Ellen?
We don't know, we can't see.
We don't know, we can see, all right. 209, thank God. Mary Ellen from the country of New Jersey. All right. Good on the next. That means anybody also could be saved. That right? Anybody qualified. Not on their merits, but on the merits of the grace of God.
The only qualification is to be a sinner.
And that's hard. And that's hard because there is the first beatitude, you have to be empty. To be a sinner, you have to say, yeah, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody.
But that's to recognize you're a sinner.
Recognize, yeah. You
but
are.
To be a sinner.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Yeah, no, I didn't mean it.
Yes, sir.
What's the number? 209.
Okay,
great. Number 4. glory, how great, great is thy faithfulness. All right, number 40. All right. And if you want to hear the pastor singing, you just turn in on Wednesday night. Brother Joey told me that they hear me singing. All right.
Amen.
We are so few that I just want to sing. And I don't know. The things were on, and I guess you can hear these ones are on, which you can hear. So if you are more scared to death, then you will be enjoying yourself. All right. Number 40. Verses 1 to 6.
1 to 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you very much for the reading of the preciousness of God's word. Our intention is to travel to the book of Revelation. And so far, we have completed a synopsis of the book of Revelation and an overall picture of the book of Revelation. Not a mystery, but a revelation. Remember that key word in verse 1, that is not a mystery, but it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so chapter 1, as you read it, you have a complete revelation of what Jesus Christ really is today. An updated state of the Lord Jesus. This is what Jesus Christ is today. And just to refresh your mind, once a week you read chapter 1 of Revelation and you get an idea of the powerful Savior that we have. Then chapter 2 and 3, God gave us a picture of the church. How many churches you remember that were good in those two chapters? There were churches that were good. How many? Two of them. Okay. You remember how many churches were listed? Seven. And so two out of the seven were absolutely good. And one of the churches was the Church of Philadelphia, as you remember. Now, chapter 4, all the way to chapter 19 in the book of Revelation, is God's agenda. And I don't have a title yet for chapter 20 and 21. I'm puzzling what that means in the whole passage, because 20 and 21 describes heaven. And so I have to think on this. But chapter 4 to 19 is God's agenda. In other words, God carry a palm, a T5, and he's switching every day to see. Of course, every day for God is a long time for us. Now, in page 1 in God's agenda, we have the victorious proclamation of the gospel. And you remember, it's pictured by what? By a white horse. A white horse that when you read it in verse 2, and then you compare to Revelation 19, verse 11 to 16, that white horse is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the victorious proclamation of the gospel is explained between Matthew chapter 12 with Ephesians 2. In Matthew 12, Jesus is telling the Pharisees who told Jesus that he is a devil. He's doing miracles in the name of the devil. He said, now listen, if a man tie up a fellow in the house and goes and steals something from the house, that is the one who is really the key. And if I do that in the name of the devil, in which name you do it, because that's what your business is. And so we were dead, said Ephesians 2, in trespasses and sin. And God rescued from that dead condition, spiritual condition, and put us into the kingdom of God. Now, the second page in God's agenda is that the development of an Antichrist group, just taking today's modern English. And this Antichrist group is managed by Satan. We learned that in verse 4, a picture by a red horse, and described in 2 Thessalonians 2. And the good part is this, that is authorized by God. Authorized by God. Satan, remember, cannot do anything against us unless God authorizes it. And this horse is identified by the word peace. In verse 4, the Bible said that he will take away the peace of the world. So Satan, like a roaring lion in 1 Peter 5:8, is coming, is attacking us. And if you have a victorious day, be careful. Tomorrow is going to give you a headache. And the day after is going to give you more headache. That's what he wants to. He cannot touch the believer's life, but he can make the believer's life very, very miserable. Now, our brother have read the scripture, and he touched verses 5 and verse 6 in Revelation. And I'm going to work with you and find out what the scriptures really is telling us. The first question that I have for you is this. What does the scripture say? No commentaries, no interpretations, no guessing what the scripture says. So I'm going to read verse 5 and 6, and you tell me if I'm on the money, what I put on the screen, what the scripture says. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I look, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales on his hand, or a measuring. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. So here is what I think these verses are saying, if I'm not reading this wrong. There is a rider and a black horse. who has control of the world economy. Look in verse 5. I look and behold a black horse, and he sat on it, had a pair of scales. He measured. He's the one who's dealing. His position is to deal with you. And he's going to measure, and he's going to determine how much is what. So there's a rider in the black horse who is in control of the economy, and also the world distribution of food. Look at in verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do no harm the oil and the wine. God is saying that. You cannot touch the oil and the wine, and explain you very quickly what that means in their kind. But scripture is saying me that in God's agenda, he will allow through the history of the world, somebody controlling the economy and somebody controlling the food distribution. Now, you live in a country that was very free and abundant. But I live in a country where food distribution was controlled by the government. We can buy 1 kilo of sugar a week. We can buy 5 liters or 1 gallon, because the gallons over there in South America are British gallons, so 5 liters of kerosene for my mother's heating a week. We can buy on Friday meat, because the country was exporting meat, and so only on Friday. And the prices were set, the scale, the prices were set by the government. And no businessman can do business as he please. All the prices were the same in the entire country, under control. And so that is not communism. That's in God's plan, that there will be some kind of monopoly, you call it in America, controlling the economy. And the one who controls the economy controls the world. Remember that. It's not the army. It's the one who controls the economy. The one who controls the bank controls the world. And so, to me, this is what these verses are saying. That God is allowing somebody to come into the picture with limitations. He cannot touch, as you see in verse 6, the oil and the wine, and explain to you why. But he can control the rest of the whole story. And he can be in manipulation of the entire economy of countries and the world. Now, what does the scripture mean by that? Now, that's what the scripture said. Is everybody in one accordance that the scripture said that somebody is going to control business and allow by God, all right? Now, that's what the scripture plainly says. Now, we have to interpret that. So we ask the question, what does the scripture mean? Now, the color black of the horse, black is in opposition to white. If you study colors in architecture, there are only 3 colors in the world, and there are no colors in the world. The no colors are white and black. See? And I'm glad we don't have in a congregation somebody who is black. He'd think I'm insulting him. But black means nothing, means no color, and white means no color. All right? So black is in opposition to white. Is that right? So Christ was in the little horse, in the white horse. Let's look in chapter 6, verse 2. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went conquering to conquer. That is a picture of Christ. Therefore, Satan is in the black horse, which means Satan is in opposition to God. Now, let's check it. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. And you will see what God said in verse 10 of Ephesians, chapter, verse 12, excuse me, of Ephesians chapter 6. This is what God says, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And so the black horse is an indication that there is an opposition to God. There is someone who in God's agenda is free to certain limitations to oppose the kingdom of God. All right? Now, also we have to interpret this, that the world's economy and the control of fruit distribution, like communism, is to be expected in the world. If you move your Bible to Matthew 24, there the Bible describes the conditions of the world in a continuous manner, each time more aggressive. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 and verse 7, if I can move this Bible correctly. All right, here's what the Bible says. Remember, Matthew 24 is the question to Jesus, when those things will take place, when the end of the world will come. And among many things he said, and you will hear words and rumors of war, and see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquake in various places. Famines mean the lack of food. And the lack of food is not necessarily to a catastrophe, but is going to be by the controlling of the merchants in the world that will produce the lack of food. And so the scripture means that seriously, you should expect not a utopia in the world in which we live today. Not a utopia. There is no democracy, no communism, no any kind of country that can bring a utopia into the world. Only God can bring that in the future, in heaven. But not here. Right here, we will have the ambition of mankind and the controlling of mankind. And the only thing you have to do today in America, for example, is to read the newspaper like today, the Mercury News, and see the CEOs in every company. The Yahoo president is making $235 million a year. The other guy is making $63 million a year. And everybody trying to control the computer market. People are not producing something for the people. They are producing something for themselves so that they can get rich and control the market. Our friend from Microsoft, he is a super billionaire because he controls the market. And when the government of the United States put him on a corner, lawyers find a way to break the company in three places, but he's the head of the three places, and the money is still coming to him. Why he does this? Why a man will want to have everything himself? Because it's God's plan. It's in God's agenda. So that you and I will not trust this world. You and I will not have ambitions other than to witness for the Lord Jesus, live peacefully, feed our family, God care for us, and you will see it in a minute, and so on. But don't make yourself a dream that will be a glorious thing. And also, if something goes wrong with you in business or whatever, don't panic. God's plan is not that every Christian should be a Superman, and that's what churches preach today. That if you become a Christian, you'll be the glorious, and everything goes well with you. Whereas it goes well with you, that you have peace with God. Regardless what happened, you have peace with God. And that value, nobody can touch. And that's what is expected. Now, some of you experience this in the church. Some of you will experience that if you are in business. And I tell you, when I was in the radio, never is a dull moment. Never. And I don't know who came the other day to see me. I guess it was Brother Greg or something. And the phone rings from the radio again. Questions. Well, what do we do with this employee? What do we do? It's a mess. And they don't know how to solve it peacefully. So they call the church to see if I have a solution from the Lord, you know, so that they can have. In other words, there is no peace anywhere. The ambition of man is to destroy you. It's just they want themselves. It's not something good for everybody. And every politician the same. In every country. In other countries, it's more violent because of dictatorship. I was talking to Toyan at lunch, and she suggested that North Korea is the man who had North Korea. He thinks he's God. And actually, Hitler did that, all right, and so on. And so this is coming on and on. It's not that this is the end of the world. This is the conditions in which this world manipulates. But we Christians stay steady. The peace of God will never take you away. Okay, that's what the scripture means to me. And then what does the scripture say to you and to me about this? Well, Number one, the world economy will be always in chaos. The television brings news from Africa. There are people hungry in Africa. Well, there are people hungry in America. The only thing I have to do is at 7 o'clock, go with me to the boss office, and you have a bunch of people asking you for money. You go to Main Street and Monterey Avenue, and you have maybe 100 people asking you for money. You go to Monterey and Gilroy, by stables, and there may be 200-300 people at 6 o'clock asking you for a job and so on. They have nothing to eat and so on, and they are there, all right, in the streets. And so the world economy will always have chaos. And the government of Mexico and the government of the United States try to think, what can we do? Well, God said, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's a good one in the scripture, in 1 Thessalonians 4, all right? Practice with your children. You don't do this, you don't eat. You will see how quick they will do it, all right? The world economy is always in chaos. There is no, the Republicans will solve it, and the Democrats will solve it, or the independent will solve it. It's God's agenda that you don't trust anybody in this world for your peace of mind. That's what it is. Now also, the world food supply will be plenty. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 6. You know, I laugh with the environmentalists who said the food supply is going to be cut off. No, sir, no. This is what it is. Verse 6, please. Revelation chapter 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and a 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. That's the price they're going to put for food. And do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, all oil was used for the preparation of bread, and wine was necessary for cooking. For the wine was used in every meal of a Jewish person. They will put wine when they boil something so to kill anything that was infectious. And so wine was a protector of the food, and oil was a maker of the food. And so the minimum that we need is protected. No Christian will be hungry. You work, and you will have the minimum. Guarantees in the Bible are not that you're going to have a big house or a small house. Guarantees in the Bible are not that you're going to own a house. Guarantees in the Bible are not that you're going to be a successful businessman. That's not what God's looking for you. What God is looking is that you will have the minimum in your home, and that will be protected. That's what the teaching is to me. And so that's a great release, a great release. When Midian married, I'm trying to study Daniel for, 5 years. They were boyfriend and girlfriend. So I had to study Daniel very careful, you know. And I told my wife, I'm at peace with Daniel. Because Daniel will do any kind of job, anything to make some money. And I said to my wife, I don't know if they're going to own a house or not. I don't know if they're going to have a big car, small car. But I know one thing, my daughter will never be hungry. Because this guy is going to work. And number two, he's very tough with her children, and my granddaughter's going to be okay because he's very tough with them. And the only, when I go, it's a release valve. You know, they can stay with me late until 1 o'clock in the morning. Let's say, go to bed at 9. Come on, I get up at 4:30, go to bed at 1, enjoy life. How can you go so early to bed? Hey, Danny, poor Danny. Now he's going to go to Argentina in December. You will see. They get up at 9 and they go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. Poor Danny, I'm praying for him. But, you know, that's what I learned. I had no other ambition than my daughter marry a believer, and that believer will work. And if he works, he will supply for his family. And may God bless Danny. I think he flies today or flies tomorrow home after working in the race there in Ohio. But I tell you, it is good to know that our minimum is supply. We go through tough times, all of you, especially if you are in school. When we came to the country, we count the pennies. Of course, the pennies were worth something in 65. And we count every penny, all right, and so on. When they pay me the first day of work, $800 in 1965 for a consulting engineering, I got $800. That's 1 month's salary in South America. I wrote right away, please come, money is raining, you know. That it was amazing how the Lord supplied. But first, I lost every money I have. I had to pay. For 6 months, I learned in English. I'm trying to do it. And then one day the phone rings. I don't know what to say. So he said, get somebody who knows English. He said, run right here that we're doing San Mateo. We need somebody, an engineer, who knows how to design an underwater tube to hold San Mateo up. So I can do that. And then one day, I did all the calculations, put it all together, and I'm going to leave. He said, well, do you get paid? Oh, did they pay? Yeah, they pay. And I don't have a car. Somebody brought me there. He said, how do you go home? So I don't know. You pay me, I take a bus. At that time, there were not so many buses to drive to Alameda. So they said, well, call a remise. And I came home on a remise. And I remember we were living in a one-room apartment in Alameda. I said, will you park here and blow the horn? And so from inside the remise, I said like this to Raquel. And Raquel said, what are you doing over there? You know, she was scared to death. And I have $800 in my pocket. Unbelievable how God supplied. When you go through, see, you people, the young people now are seeing the parents who are stable, who really work hard, and who can provide. But I tell you, it's good that you understand that whatever they have, there was a time they don't have it, and they have to do it. So God will supply all of these. Now, what is the message for us? What is the message? The trouble is not with the world economy. The trouble is within the heart of mankind. Will you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17? The message of this is to all of us to be really aware that the trouble is not with the world's economy. It is with the heart of man. The Bible said in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. You can change the word deceitful by the word slippery. The heart is slippery above all things. And desperately wicked. Desperately. Not wicked, but desperately. And look at this. I, Jehovah, search the heart. I test the man, even to give every man according to his way. And so God knows our heart, and he is able to really search our heart. So, my friend, the third horse to me is implying that there is chaos to expect it in the world, but we are going to be taking care to the very end, to the very end. The heart of man is deceitful. Who will know it? I, the Lord, know the hearts of the King James Version. And the new King James said, I, the Lord, search the heart. And so, in other words, searching for God means that he finds, so I know what is your heart. So if you are not a Christian, now, young people, think carefully before you marry. If you are a Christian and you're going to get married, you have to get married with somebody who God knows that is able to think with you concerning the future of the world. It's not what house we're going to leave and how many things we're going to have. It's the peace that you're going to have that God will supply for you as a young couple one day, everything you need for your life. Now, God is saying, alert, watch out. The world is not the place to enjoy. Oh, we go to Carmel and we look on it and we see the ocean and we're with our mouth open. We were in the 8th floor of a building right on the ocean. After protesting for the building, they give me in Mexico, they give me the penthouse where the rich and millionaires are there. You can't believe the place I was. I was lost in this big house on the top. And the beauty was that in the morning with my binoculars, I can look the turquoise color of the ocean. And in the night, they put lights on it and the whole of the ocean. And the ocean were changing colors. It was spectacular. I mean, something, I don't saw anything a man has made, because Mexico is limited in what they can make. And so everything was left to nature. That's what I like about Mexico. And it was glorious and spectacular. In the morning, we were walking right by the ocean on the side, 20, 30 blocks and back. And you see the beauty of God. Now, but nevertheless, the world, is not the place that we enjoy we enjoy the peace of God that make us inheritors of the world. And this match almost with the morning service. The peace of mind that you have in God controls you on this earth. You can lose, you can win. You belong to God. May God bless us that the ambitions of our heart are really only to please the Lord who pleases us. And I close with this. I got the news, and Jack knew it. He don't say it to you today in the report. But the City Hall, I got a confirmation, bought the properties. In the other side, as you go outside this place, where the trees are, brought the two properties to make a street and a pond over there, another street coming outside. And I asked them why, and they said, because the church is not going to move anyway, and we don't want to move the church anyway. We leave the church over there. We make a way for the church to have access, and once all the development is there, the church will sit in place. I thought to myself, what if we take an action when we have opportunity to buy here and to buy there and to buy there? This is very preliminary, but this is in the mind of the planner of the city. The church is here. We cannot move the church. We don't want to move the church. We make an access for the church and use the other properties. More to elaborate, it will come. But that confirms to me that God take care of us, that we have to relax. Our ambition is, Lord, you have given us a building. We just want to have an educational building, just a little more comfort. We are okay. And God said, okay, I take care of the rest. That's my trust, and I know the Lord is going to do it. I'm going to find out what a good building costs. I told already one developer, I need $5 million to make a good building. And, I can't believe it. They called Jack, and they said, I talked to somebody who said, what's the number, said Jack. And he said, $5 million. Oh, you talk to the pastor. He said, that's all right. He said, that's what the pastor said. That's what we need. Oh, wow. So we have to raise our collection. So you never know what they're going to do. But one thing it is, I'm at peace. Our worry should not be where are we going to be, what kind of building we're going to have. Our worry should be how can we reach more and heal for the Lord Jesus Christ. This town is so rich that they don't know they are wrecked. This town is so millionaire, people drive cars of $160,000, $200,000 in my neighborhood. I said, what I'm doing with my Honda? But I tell you, this real thing tells you that their mind and ambition is this world. Our mind and ambition is the hearts of people so that they can go to heaven. May God keep us simple, as I preached this morning, and may you be encouraged that if you are in trouble today, God will never take away your food and your place. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the good vision. We are the only one who have the insight of what's going on in the world. We listen to CNN, we listen to ABC, and the people come and they try to solve the problem. Lord, they will not be solved. The only solution is Jesus, our Lord. Thank you, Father. Help us to pronounce Jesus. Help us to proclaim Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone to everyone. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.